Hi, my name is Janelle James, and I feel excited about being Conan O'Brien's friend. I heard he has a lot of money.
I did, and I invested it badly.
Can I redo my... No, I'm just kidding.
Fall is here, hear the yell. Back to school, ring the bell. Brand new shoes, walking blues. Climb the fence, books and pens. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Yes, I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Hey, welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. I'm coming in with a lot of energy. I've been away for a little bit.
Yeah.
I was in Boston, my old hometown of Brookline, Mass.
Oh, how was that?
It was great. Got to see, you know, a bunch of my peeps. My old gang that I used to run with.
What were you guys
okay.
called?
What's that?
What was your gang called?
Oh, it was a pretty tough gang. We wore Lacoste shirts. Studied hard for our PSATs. Yeah. We were the PSAT gang.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. That's tight.
That's cool. Yeah. So scary.
Yeah, it was really scary.
Yeah.
We used to run around. Sometimes we'd just maladjust someone's cap on their head.
Oh, my God.
Without their permission.
No way.
Yeah.
Did you have a nickname?
Give it a little twist. What's that?
Did you have a nickname in the gang?
Mine?
Yeah.
I guess. I don't want to talk about it. It's a little bones. You know.
It's
bones,
a past bones. Life. You don't want to go back to that.
They used to call me Colonel Baum.
Colonel Baum.
Yeah. He was a Revolutionary War general, and he was a German.
Is this what the gang was like? Because
everyone had to be named after a different Revolutionary War general. He was a German who was sent to fight on behalf of the British. And he was ambushed, I think, up in New Hampshire.
So you guys would rumble and just, you would come to victory by boring people?
Pretty much. But I was Colonel Baum, and you just had different people who were different members of the British fighting forces.
Cool. That's so cool.
It's the coolest gang.
Yeah, sexy, too. A little sexy.
So hot.
Yeah,
if really... anyone got laid, they were kicked out of the gang. That's the number one rule.
And yet no one did.
We lost one good guy that way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he just came looking at a woman on screen. But that counted. Any orgasm of any kind meant you were out of the gang.
Even on your own?
Yeah, but you know what? Colonel Baum here.
Still in the gang.
Still in the gang to this day.
Wow.
Yeah, still in the gang.
Wow.
There have been a couple of times where I've seen an ad for cocoa and an attractive woman is serving it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, restrain oneself.
It's just you and all these 15-year-olds.
Yeah.
The new hires.
Yeah. Anyway, no, it was, you know, good to get back there. And I have to say, wandering around Newbury Street in Boston, I ran into so many people who listened to the podcast who all said, hey, tell Matt, tell Son I said hi.
Oh, that's nice.
They said it in those accents, but still, the message came across. And I heard a great phrase, which is Newbury Street. You remember Newbury Street. It's where all the shops are in downtown Boston.
I love that area.
And I heard a great phrase, and I attribute this to the singer from the Mighty Mighty Bosstones, Dickie Barrett. Announcer for Kimmel for many, many years. Someone took a footage of me walking down Newbury Street while I was there and put it up. People in Boston were seeing it and saying, hey, I saw you on Newbury Street. And Dickie Barrett told my brother Luke, he was like, damn, I just saw this footage of Conan. And kind of in the vein of why can't they leave him alone, you know?
Yeah.
And he said, you know, guy can't even shoot the noob in peace. And I was like, shoot the noob. Walk down Newbury Street is shoot the noob.
Oh, that's cool.
And I thought, that is the coolest phrase. And just a shout out to Boston. Next time, maybe this is something they all say. I didn't know that.
Shoot the noob.
But I doff my cap to Dickie Barrett, who said, shoot the noob. Conan can't even shoot the noob without people giving him a hard time.
Do you say it now?
I say it all the time.
Do you ever shoot the larch?
Here on Larchmont?
No. Yeah.
You can't. You can't, no, you can't.
No, it's not the same.
Yeah, yeah. You can, it's not the same. But shoot the noob.
DeMont?
So Liza joined me on the trip. I started saying maybe every 20 minutes the way I do.
Oh, no,
hey, Liza,
poor
You want to shoot the noob? Hey, Liza, we're shooting the noob. Let's go shoot the noob and maybe I'll find an orthotic insert.
You're awful.
I'm awful. And she got to a point where she's like, just no more shoot the noob for a while. But I love shoot the noob. So if you're in Boston or you're going to visit Boston, I want to do a public service announcement for the city that says, hey, when you're in Boston, shoot the noob.
Hey. You just did it, I think. They're going to just clip that out and like use it for tourism.
Not without my permission.
Oh.
And the cost? $15 million.
Whoa. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
No. Nope.
Shoot the Nate Boston. Oh, this is my Boston. Hey, Boston, shoot the noob.
I'll
hey.
Do it. That's your Boston. That's your Boston. Shoot the noob.
Shoot the wicked noob. Hey.
Wicked pisser.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how to do Boston.
No, you did it. That's the whole, it's the attitude.
Shoot the wicked noob.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Shoot the wicked noob. Hey, I'm from Boston.
Hey. Isn't it? No one goes, A.
It's a pretty good Gilbert Gottfried impression.
Yeah.
Go Sox.
Go shoot the, say go shoot the noob and then say Aflac.
Aflac. Go, let's go to Fenway Park and shoot the noob.
I want to get that. Maybe it's a thing they all say, but I love it. We got to think of something for Larchmont, but nothing noob. Nothing's going to
Larch. Let's larch it up.
No.
Go Larch.
March
let's
the Larch.
March the Larch
march.
Is dorky.
March the Larch.
Yeah. No. Okay.
No, he just went for that, and then you said it was dorky.
You don't march. Anything with March, I think, sounds a little dorky.
Yeah, and a little fascist.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
We must march on the Larch.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Okay.
What about lope? Lope the Larch?
What do you mean lope the Larch?
Lope?
Yeah, like, mean lope, you know, like the word lope, loping.
Oh, you know what I love?
Oh,
you,
no. Hey,
you know what I love?
Oh,
you know what my favorite Blay quality is? When you choose to seize the mic. That's my favorite quality of yours. You lurch forward and you seize the mic as if you just cracked E equals MC squared.
Yeah. Lurch the Larch.
Oh.
No, good. Stretch your arch on the Larch. You know?
Hey. Yeah,
Stretch
your arch on the Larch.
That's not.
Arch it on the Larch.
That's like a public service announcement.
Guys. Yeah. All I know is that when I was in Boston, you know what I did? Ask me what I did.
What'd you do?
You can't do it that way. You can't say shot the noob. No, it doesn't work.
Hey, what are you going to do tonight?
Shoot the noob!
Oh, he's going to shoot the noob!
Hey! Then we pass!
And then get a Remy dog.
I don't know what that is.
What you is shouldn't. That?
Okay.
What's a Remy dog?
It's a hot dog.
Oh.
Oh, that's
named
it?
Named after Jerry Remy. It's a Jerry Remy. Don't say who's Jerry Remy. That's going to piss me off. Okay.
Say it again because I need to ask it.
Yeah, who's Jerry Remy?
Second baseman, Boston Red Sox, iconic, also a great announcer, an inventor of the Remy dog.
He made hot dogs?
What's special about the Remy dog?
Yeah.
It's named after Jerry Remy.
Wait, there's nothing.
What did he do with
it? It's infused with the essence of Jerry Remy. That's all you need to know.
Like his ashes?
Or his...
Okay, this is getting dark, and I don't like that.
Is he dead? Is he alive?
He has passed on to his great reward, but somewhere he's in heaven eating and sharing a Remy dog with Christ.
Wait a minute. There's nothing... Like, he didn't add
He probably did. This is getting into stuff that I'm sure is proprietary to the Remy family, and I don't want to get into that.
Okay.
Listen, we are shedding... listeners, because we're getting way too local, way too parochial. We can't do that. We've got to open it up.
You did the shoot the noob thing.
I know.
You did this.
I know, and I thought we got away with it. Oh. And then we went down this wormhole of Jerry Remy, Remy Dog, Fenway Park. This is all important stuff to me.
Yeah.
But we are shedding people right now.
You guys want to talk about
more
Whittier?
Sports.
More
sports.
Whittier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whittier College. Richard Nixon, baby.
Yeah. That's where he met Pat Nixon at the theater.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Rocky Cola Cafe in Uptown.
It's gone
in
now.
Uptown.
Whittier, Whittier, where the girls are prettier.
That's right.
Yeah. And never shittier than in Whittier.
What exactly is never shittier?
Show your tittier on Whittier.
Come on.
Like, all of these were circulating in Whittier many, many years ago.
I'm sure they are.
Show your tittier.
I'd pity her were she from Whittier.
You could say, show that you are tittier in Whittier.
Okay.
How are you tittier? Like
you
you're titty, but you're tittier?
No,
you
I'm running through this titties. Through.
You have like
Guess
four?
What? I'm running this
you
through.
You have like four titties?
I'm running this through the latest advanced chat GPT, and it says this is the worst segment ever on a podcast.
Okay. Well, you said tittier in Whittier. I'm just trying to figure out
I'm
how
not
you
saying
can get
I contributed
tittier.
Any good to this.
Okay.
But I did shoot the noob. All right.
Oh, no.
Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
All right. My guest today is a hilarious actress, writer, and comedian who stars as Principal Ava Coleman, such a funny character, in the hit ABC series Abbott Elementary. She is so good. I'm thrilled she's here today. Janelle James, welcome. First of all, I'm going to describe the vibe here right now. You can maybe see it if you're watching this on video.
I feel like I'm
you brought
smoking
a,
you out now.
What is this that's happening right now? You've lit some incense.
You never
know who entered the room before you. You know what I mean? And I wanted a clean slate with my new friend, Conan O'Brien. So I brought some incense.
This is nice. What is the scent we're getting
this
here?
This is Palo Santo.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are we getting from this scent? I'm not a connoisseur
cleansing,
of scents. Cleansing.
Okay. Good energy. Mm-hmm. A little jump off talking point. Yeah.
It's great if that was the scent.
Jump off talking
jump
point.
Jump off talking point for podcasts.
Icebreaker, yeah.
Icebreaker.
This is hints of icebreaker.
Yeah.
Some tones of funny bit we could do. It does feel like a small fire broke out in the podcast studio,
if,
which is
if any time you want me to put it out, I am.
No.
I don't. I'm like liking
it.
This right
it's
now.
It's going right towards you, so you probably need some cleansing.
I was
going to
say, what does this mean?
It's sensing a black hole of me.
Yeah, it's weird. There is no like
there's
wind.
No wind.
No,
it's
going,
just
like,
seriously going straight
she
to
moved
me.
It
it's
away
going
too.
Right
yeah.
to my
that's
fat
why I
head.
Moved it, and it's going right to you.
No matter where you move it, it's going to come to me because it senses a vacuum here. It senses pain.
Are you anxious today?
Am I just anxious in general? Yes.
Facts. Same.
Yeah.
That's why I walk around with incense like a weirdo.
Well, let me paint the picture.
It's because it's still going right to
it. Conan, let
Isn't
us pray.
No, no, no. Every time you move it, the smoke makes a beeline.
It did a U-turn.
Must
cartoon
heal
style.
Creature. Must heal creature. That is weird.
She said it's for cleansing, right?
Yeah, it is.
What's a cleansing over here?
It's not working yet. It's got a lot to do. You need to bring in a giant bundle of these and light them all at the same
time. I'll do the whole studio for you.
So, Janelle, I'm at this event, and I practically run smack into you. And
facts.
So, what's that?
No, facts.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did almost run right into me.
Is that
I did.
Purpose?
You know, I see attractive women sometimes. I just try and do the old, hey, what the heck? I'm sorry I bumped into you. I love you. Then you can't get me too, you know? It was just I bumped into you.
No, it was an accident.
And here I am. That's your worst.
Yeah.
That's your worst.
No,
wow.
I ran into you. I was so happy to see you because you're very funny and you're very funny in an original way.
Oh, I appreciate
and
that.
And I was so happy to cross paths with you. And you were there, David.
I was.
And I said, I must have Janelle on the podcast.
Yeah, you called me over immediately.
I called you over immediately and said, can you just make this happen? And you said, well, I don't think I can. You started fumfering. It's so nice to have
you
here.
He was real standoffish. You were nice.
Yeah.
He was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I remember.
I try to be as rude as possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's nice is Matt Gourley is out today. That's not the nice part. But boy, what a nice break.
Poor Gourley when he edits this.
No, we all love Matt Gourley, but you are sitting in his stead, David. Yeah. And
nice.
You're a big fan. You're a big
fan of
Janelle's,
fan of yours,
as is Sona.
Yep.
As am I. So we've got, you've got a packed house right here. Eduardo over there.
Big fan.
Very happy. I appreciate it. I feel the
love.
Blay,
not so much because you're not in Star Wars.
Oh, yet.
Yes.
Let's manifest.
Okay.
As I said, your portrayal of Ava on Abbott Elementary, it brings me a lot of happiness because I think it's a very tricky thing to pull off the self-involved maybe not a villain. I'm not going to say villain, but a character.
For a sitcom, I'm a villain.
For a sitcom, you're a villain.
Yeah.
And so you're walking this line, but you do it beautifully and in a way where I think this is great. This character is inept, vainglorious, has all these flaws, but you're very funny doing it, consistently funny, and you keep hitting different notes, and I'm just very happy.
Well, thank you so much, Conan.
Yeah, really happy
wow.
for you.
Wow.
Yeah, and yeah. I don't
know.
My opinion might not mean anything, but
what
seriously.
What are you talking about? I don't know if you saw the WGA Awards last year, and I had a joke in there where I said, what's funny about late night? And I said, I don't know. Is Conan here? He's funny. And I got a little flack for that. I am a huge fan of yours.
Well, that's
I'm
very
a huge
nice.
Fan of yours.
Thank
and
you.
Your opinion, mean that really made my
well,
day.
Well, you know, I'm also, I know that your story is a great story.
Is it
really is a great It is. You came to your success after a lot of hard work and struggle,
yeah.
and I love those stories.
Oh.
I really do. I think I just won a contest. But I think
Aww,
but I how'd you win?
Yeah. Aww, you
what did.
Did
you do before you won?
Yeah.
Well, I was a male stripper.
Okay.
I was in Thunder Down Under, and Lorne Michaels saw me grinding it.
Don't.
I knew he was into that.
Don't disparage the name of Thunder from Down Under, please.
Or Lorne Michaels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that too, but more importantly, Thunder from Down Under.
No, but let's just talk about the backstory a little bit, because you're born in St. Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
In the Virgin Islands.
I am.
And
was.
You were. Mm-hmm. You're still being born. We're all still being
hey,
born.
Hey, if you think about it.
Do you, at what age do you start to think I'm funny?
Oh, shoot.
Always?
No, not till adulthood.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think I was a, yeah, everybody get that class clown question or whatever.
Not a class clown.
Yeah, I know I was like always a jerk. You know, like a smart ass.
Right. But you were funny. You could make your friends
funny.
Laugh.
I don't remember. I don't know if I'm just old. I don't remember. Like,
I think it's all this incense.
Facts. Could be.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember till adulthood people being like, you're hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was like a nerdy bookworm growing up, but I've always just been.
I'm sensing a kindred spirit here.
Yeah. I've just always been in adult business. I know that. Like listening to what's going on, curious about everything, and then having something to report. That was my thing, and just being like sarcastic with it. And I think I became funny, so just people would listen to me state all my facts that I knew.
Like, that works.
Yeah.
It's a survival instinct.
Yeah. Yeah.
You move, how old are you when you moved to?
16.
And you moved to Maryland?
Yeah. And then I was there for a year, and then I moved to New York because I loved Madonna. And and she had that movie.
She had that song, Come to New York.
Come to New York. What was that? Who's That Girl?
I remember
watching that when I was like 5 or something, like just being obsessed with her and being obsessed with New York, and was like, I'm going to move there and just like be like Madonna, just like bopping down the street, having a New York life. And so moved to New York, did every hustle in the book that
people
do. Let's
hear some of the hustles, because.
Man. I worked in a salon in the fashion industry. I worked in a law firm.
Mm-hmm.
I worked hosting in many restaurants. I waitressed in many restaurants. I worked in many hair salons as a receptionist and like shampoo girl and all those things. I worked at, what's the Howard Stern strip club? you know what I'm
is
talking
it
about.
Named
from
after
the,
him?
No, what is that?
Scores.
Scores. Yeah. I worked at Scores as a humidor, which is a cigar girl.
Oh, so that means you walk around with a tray of cigars?
Too prudish to get naked, but I wish I did when I still had that body. But humidor.
Yeah. I was a humidor guy when I was in Thunder Down Under.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay.
They wouldn't let me take my shirt off. I did once, and three people went to the hospital.
You blinded them.
Yeah.
They were like, I see a lot of white and then blue veins.
Am I dead?
Yeah.
What else did I do? I started many like home hustles. I taught sewing lessons in my house. I threw like parties in my house for like entry because I had no furniture. So I was like, what can I do with all this empty space in this apartment? I threw parties. I started a personal chef. This is when...
So enterprising.
Yeah.
I know.
Because I grew up, my dad had a restaurant, so I know how to cook. I don't like to anymore, but I knew how to cook. And I'm just like, what skills do I have that can I turn into money? That's what New York was for me. And so I started this. This is when all the startups were going. WeWork and all of that shit opened. So I started doing like personal chef for all these like, you know, 8-person offices. I would go in and cook lunch for them. And
I will cook your food, then wash your hair.
Whatever you need.
Then offer you a cigar.
Whatever
you
need,
baby.
You
could do anything, yeah.
That was called the joy of not cooking. I just remembered that. Yeah. So yeah, many things. And in between there, got married, had a baby. And then I moved to follow the man to, the Midwest, which is where I started comedy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the whole time that you're doing what you call hustles, just jobs, you're doing all these different jobs, you're trying
sometimes
everything.
Sometimes at the same time.
Yeah. And you are, you know, you're earning your way. Mm-hmm. Is it in the back of your head while that's all happening, I've got to get into a performing life?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Wow. Okay.
So my ex-husband, when I had that empty apartment, he would come over and we would, you know, imbibe and we would get high. And I don't know how else to say that. And I'd be running my mouth as I do. And he would say, "You're hilarious." He's the first person I remember being like, "Oh, you should do something
good
with that."
Him,
and I'm
yeah.
like, "What a clown! Like, what yeah. do I do?" Being hilarious, it never crossed my mind.
Yeah,
it really didn't. Performing or I never did like stage play. Nothing, nothing mm-hmm. performance wise. Life is a performance. I will say, my dad had a restaurant on the beach. That's where I grew up. We started as a food truck and then it turned into a restaurant. And so our performance, me and my siblings, of which I'm the oldest of nine, we were the kids that come up to you on vacation and sell you shit. That's my first performing. Like, hey,
you gotta have
aren't
game.
You thirsty?
You have to be able to talk. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, oh, quench your thirst with this bucket of Bacardi or whatever, you know. So we were always performing like, oh,
sure.
we're just poor island kids, you know, that kind of thing. So I've always been like outgoing in that way.
So you're in the Midwest yeah. and you decide you'll go to an open mic night. What did you do?
Yep. Somebody handed me a flyer in the grocery store and I came home. I put it on the table and my ex-husband said, "What's that?" And I was like, "Some guy handed it to me." And he was like, "You should go." Like, cause, I went there for him. He was going to school. And so I hadn't really been leaving the house or anything. So he was like, "You should go outside." And I went. And I watched, it's my first time seeing a comedy open mic. I had no idea like how comedians start or practice or anything like that, or that happens. And I was laughing. So they wanted me to come back. They were like, "Come back next week. And by the way, you can do some time. You could do 4 minutes if you want next week." And I was like, "What does that mean?" They told me, "You write your material, you can do 4 minutes." And so that's what I did. I came back the next week. I did 4 minutes. I got my first laugh. I was like, "This is it." I loved it.
Yeah.
And I just started doing it every week. Started hanging out with those dudes, like five white boys. We started traveling around. Yeah, not in a van. What were we in? A Volvo station wagon. going to like the different clubs around.
And did you work out a set?
I did.
Or did you have a lot of improvisation
I mean,
in
like,
your set?
No. Improv. I was really like, so at that time, my dad was dying. And I think a lot of comedians start from some traumatic, you know, shit. And so I was just kind of working that out. So my first 10 minutes or whatever that I built up was about my dad dying. Mm-hmm. And, but then also like a lot of starting comedians, I started getting like book gigs, like, yeah, I got 30 minutes, you know, that kind of thing. And
sure.
So I had to improvise in that way, but I don't think I was good, but I was doing it. So yeah. And then, my home club is the Jukebox Comedy Club in Peoria. I started hanging out there. That's the home of Richard Pryor, if you don't know.
Yeah.
And that's where I met like all the traveling comedians. And the first person to take me on the road was Todd Barry, who saw me there. And then,
love Todd Barry.
Yeah. And then where I was a college town. So all the big comics would come through. And so Todd then told Rob Delaney, I was going to open for Rob Delaney. Todd told him, like, make sure you watch your opener. And I remember like doing my set and Rob Delaney's like at the back of the room with his arms crossed. And then he was like, "Hey, do you want to tour with me?" So I went with him and he was like huge on Twitter then. And so I got to like 2 years in do these like sold out 3,000, you know, seat back to back shows with him. And then Hannibal, I just started going with different people. And so by the time I got back to New York, Todd had said, "Hey, if you're ever in New York, look me up." And I showed up and I was like, "Remember you said?" He was like, "No, I..."
No, man.
Oh, no.
Hey, man. No, man.
The cinch is stalking me. Come to my birthday party. And that's where I met Eugene Merman. And then I started hanging out with them. And
it's so funny how
Schall and all those people. So,
There's this, I think it's a common story. I can certainly relate to it. You spend your early years in what feels like the wilderness,
mm-hmm.
and you're wandering around, you don't think anyone's like you, and then you get into a certain little, I don't know, tide pool or something, and you meet one person, and then that seems to be the reality for a little bit, and then you meet one other person, another person, and suddenly you're wired into this community.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing.
I was like, whoa, comedians are, you know, I don't know about cool, but yeah, like.
Yeah. Let me see. Todd Barry. Eugene Merman. as cool as can be.
But like laughing and hanging out,
sure.
the extended adolescence. You know, I luckily came in when everybody was on the wagon, so I missed all the alcoholism and drug shit.
There's still time.
Yeah, I'm sure. So,
but you know,
yeah.
That's interesting because everyone you've mentioned is really funny. Hannibal, mm-hmm, all these mm-hmm. people you're mentioning are...
And unique.
Unique, funny people. And so you start, it's also a school.
Yeah.
Because you can watch other people and you can understand different rhythms. And it's, I always think it's the same thing as music. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're just around.
I mean, I always say after I met Todd, I did Todd Berry for like a year. Very stoic, didn't move around.
Yeah, yeah.
And he taught me a lot about the road, how to get paid, make sure you're getting paid. Like,
yeah.
Those two things are the most important. And
I've worked with Todd, and he is very good at getting paid.
Hey,
man. Hey, man.
Yeah.
Todd, you haven't done it yet. Hey, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, don't get fucked over by these clubs. And yeah, I learned stuff from everyone. And so, yeah, I feel like I have it was the best entry into this, you know, business for me, somebody who was already an adult, you know, and super focused because around that time I missed started missing like a lot of shit with my kids, like as entertainers do. And so I was very focused because I was like, this has to be worth it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You weren't thinking about Abbott Elementary. You weren't thinking about the character of Ava. This was something that came to you and you didn't even jump at it right away.
No. I got that audition during the pandemic. I always thought, so I hadn't really thought about acting. My whole goal at that time was I want to be Chris Rock. I had just come off, my last tour was touring with Chris. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is amazing, you know? And so I was like, this is my goal. And so I would get auditions from my agents and I would just kind of fuck around with them. Like, especially if I thought it was stupid or whatever. I wasn't ever like pressed to get into get on screen. I was like, if it happens, it will. And then I always thought, one of my friends would get a show and bring me over like Adam Sandler does or whatever. So when I got that script, I really liked it, which is rare, you know, to read a pollen like, oh, shit, this is amazing. And so I remember I wrote Quinta on Twitter and I was just like, your pilot is so good. I know how hard that is to do. I've been trying to write one myself and failing. And she was like, thanks. I said, I think I'm going to audition for Ava. She said, I didn't know you act. And I was like, I don't know if I do, but I'm going to, I don't know. I'll try.
I love how honest you are. You're not talking, you're not selling yourself or talking your way into it. You're saying, oh, I have no idea.
I was really just trying to compliment. I was really impressed. I was like, I'm laughing out loud. I could totally see this. And I remember telling my agent, like, even if I don't get this, this is going to go. It's going to go with or without me. And it was in the middle of the pandemic. So I thought we were going to die. I wasn't really trying to mm-hmm. do much of anything, truly.
Yeah.
So I had the audition like in my hands for like 6 weeks. And the deadline passed. I kept asking for extensions. And I didn't have the motivation. I was depressed. Yeah. I was depressed. And then finally, my agent was like, are you sure? Like, I really think, you know, that I was like, fine. I had to like pull out all the... I couldn't find my ring lights. I had my son like holding a floor lamp towards me, you know, for lighting. And and then I just, I sent in the self-tape and then I got a call back. So, yeah, that's how it happened. And then I did 4 subsequent like Zoom auditions.
The highest compliment you can pay someone is, I cannot imagine that character being someone else.
Thank you.
In any alternate universe, you're still playing that part.
Thank you. I mean, that's how I feel. That's how I feel like it's meant to be because, again, I waited so long. Everyone had already auditioned. It kind of worked out for me in that they were still looking for the person. It was like, oh, this latecomer. And then I found out Quinta, once I did my initial, she just kept sending me up. They were like, well, can we get a name? Who else do you have? She was like, it's this person. Mm-hmm. It's this. So she kept. So it kind of worked out that I waited. And yeah, I do totally feel like it's meant to be, which is how I like everything in my life to work.
Well,
I don't want to.
The fact that you spent
anything.
Yeah. But that's the thing, too, is that I feel like you probably, after all these experiences you've had, not just as a stand up, but all these experiences you had just trying to make your way in the world, none of that's wasted. That all goes into
definitely
your ability to look at this character and say, here's what I would do with this.
Yeah.
Because.
And also, what's the word? is it empathize? I don't know if it's empathize. But yeah, she's a hustler at the end of the day. Like, that's really what I took out of her ethos. Like, she has, same thing like me, multiple businesses going, even though she's a principal.
Yeah. Now, why does she own a party bus?
You know, do exactly. We know? I mean, she has a thriving TikTok shop. You know, she has a rotating closet in hers.
Yeah.
You know, she's doing everything.
Also, when she unveils the sign that she spent thousands of dollars for a public school that's very much in need of funding. You spent it on a sign that you're on. But, inspiring. Yeah,
is really what I was trying.
That's the word I wrote down right here.
She was
inspiring.
Trying to do. Thank you. Thank you.
Because I don't know anything
about. $1,000 when you need millions? Is how I.
But you know, I think empathize is the right word, because you're saying these characters don't work if you also don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, if you just looked at the character of Ava on paper, I don't know that you would see anything that you would like, but your portrayal of her, I see a lot of qualities. She is fearless. She completely believes her own bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite characters in comedy are deluded,
delusional,
egotistical. That's
the entertainment industry, baby.
Yeah.
You gotta be delusional.
Yeah. People that, I mean, to me, it goes back to Peter Sellers' Clouseau, or Don Knotts as Barney Fife. People that don't have the skills, they don't really have any of the backing that they need. They completely believe in themselves, mm-hmm. 100%.
I think that's the difference between me and her. Like, she has like almost unearned confidence.
Yes, you know? Yeah.
And I think the coming up in stand-up, it's in how I mean, them shows I did in the Midwest were horrible, you know? I'm doing like VFWs with like, all like a full house of white men just staring at me with their arms crossed. Like, so nothing once I got to Hollywood and acting is scary anymore,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I also had the backing of like the greats. Like, I've had Chris Rock tell me like, yo, you the real deal. Like,
yeah.
So these are the things that are giving me the confidence to do, you know, this character, which is, you know, my first role. So.
Yeah, it's kind of unbelievable, but it makes sense to me because, early on, I always insisted, what I had was my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, I can develop these other things, but I want to be in control.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go around and say, I'm a blank slate. Someone please cast me.
Yeah.
I knew that I had to form this Conan,
personality.
This Conan thing. Yeah. I kind of knew what it was, and I just kept doubling down on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think your story is very inspirational to me, because I see you finding yourself and you get
if you
to
make me cry, I swear to God.
Again, I'm going to give the credit to the tie stick you brought. Not only are you going to cry, I'm going to cry and vomit
just
blood.
Smoke eyes.
Yeah.
Again, do you need me to put
no,
it?
No, okay, I love
all right,
it.
All right.
It is the...
I can't tell when you're being...
No,
he's
but
usually not serious.
No, I know.
Yeah, I've never said a serious thing in my life.
So that's what I'm seeing. That's what I mean. Him being, I love it. Could mean anything.
No. But excuse me, just 1 minute. But you took control. I think that has informed everything you've done. Is you deciding? No, I'm not going to chase anything. Mm-hmm. I'm going to develop.
I mean, what I would think was my worst nightmare would to be, quote unquote, trapped in a character, you mm-hmm. know, like you're saying, you developed your own thing. So, and as many stand-ups are, is like, I'm a thing unto myself, like I am me, you know, that thing.
Yeah.
So then to come to this, play this character who's become her own thing, really like fucked my head up for the first couple seasons. And now I'm like, I have to come back to, I like this person. I think she's interesting.
How did it screw you up a little bit?
People saying that I'm that person.
I see.
That type of thing, which I've now intellectualized as, oh, that's how well I'm doing, that people think that I am her.
Right. So people meeting you and thinking you're a deluded, egotistical narcissist.
Yeah.
I get that too.
Yeah.
You're like that Conan guy. No, that's my character.
But also having to like realize... having to realize that they admire it.
Yeah.
Like, we're saying it as like, a negative, and they're like, I love that you're this deluded narcissistic.
Also, you know. I always think comedy writers, I know in my career, when I was on The Simpsons, I only wanted to write for Mr. Burns. I only wanted to write
the villain.
The villain. It was so much fun that they had to tell me, you can't pitch another Mr. Burns story. All your ideas are about Mr. Burns because he's, you know, he can be infinitely evil. He can have vast amounts of money. He can have robots in the basement. It's this whole world. And it's the same thing with Ava, where she can...
anything. She's almost a cartoon.
Yeah, you can come up
now
with...
Now that you say it.
All kinds of stuff for her. The hello sign that she aims towards herself.
I love it. And I did that to make myself laugh. Yeah. And Quinta was like, leave it, you know? So
right,
because
someone
out.
Tried to change it. Someone tried to say like a set.
I did it like, ha, isn't that funny? Like it's facing me. And then I was like, all right, let me put it back.
Your
and
hello,
she was like,
my
no, put it back.
Yeah.
That's hilarious, yeah. You know? So it's like, yeah, no greeting for the outsiders. It's for me.
It's you saying hello to yourself.
To myself.
And explaining who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a little touch. I love it. And I love that it stuck and people, yeah. Yeah.
But that becomes catnip for writers because it's, I think, one of the reasons your character just sort of took on a life of its own is there's no end to it. People can have a lot of fun mm-hmm. saying, oh, wait, I just thought of something that Ava could be doing. I mean, people watching the
and
show.
And I'm
think
that. So that goes back to me being like, oh, no, I'm stuck in this character. I'm really not because she can do anything.
She can
I
do
think
anything.
More than any of the other characters who are very like they are their, you know, ethos and their character. Ava can switch up at any time and it won't be a bit, it won't be a surprise.
Were you
you're
happy?
You're waiting for the switch up, you know.
Were you happy when your former boyfriend was revealed to be
Iguodala? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was I happy? Yeah.
No, I mean it's just so
he's hot.
Yeah.
Sure. Quince actually ran that by me. What do you think about this guy? And I liked that he was married because mm-hmm. I was like, oh, less instance for sexual harassment. And I was like, oh, a family man who's also a tall, attractive ball player. Who wouldn't want that in their lore? That's her lore that she only
which
dates
you can
athletes.
Keep adding to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she founded the Roots. I don't know if you've heard.
And like no one believed that you knew Questlove and then you showed up.
I don't
up.
Know how many times I got to bring it to these motherfuckers. Like, that's what I like about her. She's like, she says things and then it turns out to be
true. Turns out to be true. Yeah. That reminds me so much of, I grew up in Boston and Red Sox, of course, are everything. And the star pitcher was this guy, Louis Tiant. And we had this, I got to be careful here so I don't get anyone in trouble. I had a teacher who will go unnamed, who was just a character and was always spinning stories about hanging out with Fidel Castro in Cuba and escaping Cuba and being shot at and swimming across the ocean to get to America. You just thought, nothing he's saying is true. And he used to talk about how his good friend was Louis Tiant, who was the biggest star in Boston. And we thought, bullshit, you know, whatever, man. And one day, we're all having class, we're on the first floor, ting, 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 and a hand is rapping on the window and it's wearing a giant pennant ring.
No.
And we look over and it's Louis Tiant banging on
oh my
this,
God.
This teacher's window. And he goes like, hey, guys, I got to go outside and talk to El Tiante and goes outside. And suddenly I realized he is friends with Castro. He did.
Everything else is
yeah,
true.
Everything
true.
Is true.
Everything
but
is
it's
true.
The same thing where
yeah,
you can.
And now he's a teacher. And it's just like, yeah, I'm like this character. Another reason I was mad about the character being characterized with this character is like, I'm like, this is the least interesting thing about me, you know, is playing this part. So I had to like get over that.
Yeah.
And realize that that means I'm doing a good job. Yeah. That comedian
Do
ego
you
shit.
Like the part now? You're very well known. It's a hit show. Your character really pops. Do you like being recognized and how do you handle that? Because you're not someone who was 3 years old saying, I've got to be recognized.
Yeah.
That wasn't you. So how
no,
do you do
yeah,
with it?
I, like, again, I had a very rough first couple seasons just wrapping my head around all of this, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
And because you said it wasn't anything I ever like actively pursued. And then comedians are like, especially stand-ups, we're like contrary loners, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
to have people think that I'm this character, which I know comes with a performance. Like, that's how we're different in that she wants to be famous. And so people approach me as like, this must be great for you that I'm recognizing you because that's what you want because you're that character. So that was hard for me.
Yeah.
And so now I've gotten better because I just stay in the house.
What a healthy approach. I saw a therapist.
Everything's
and the
better.
Therapist said, don't leave the house.
Everything's better.
No.
No, it's been wild. I do that. Yeah, therapist. I have two. Now
they just talk to each other now.
Yeah, like, oh, what's going on with this broad? I don't want to feel, because then people take that as ungrateful because people think that that's what they want or you yeah. want or you wanted fame. I'm like, I just wanted money and to have fun, not to have to perform every time I leave the house, which it does feel like a performance. Like even when people, I'm glad that I'm a villain that people like to see. That's one thing, you know. So everybody's approaching me with like happiness and joy, but that's still like so much energy output for me when I'm just trying to go get some dog food or something.
Yeah. I hope you have a dog. That's all I gotta say.
All the actresses.
That shit is good. Have you tried it?
All the actresses are on a dog food diet now.
If that gets out and everyone's eating dog food, it works.
Ozempic who?
Yeah.
Are you on dog food?
Are you on dog food? Yeah. All your nutrients? Yeah.
I found Alpo in your garbage can.
How do you deal with it? You've been doing that forever. I know.
We ran
into each other because I was running up on you. Like, you know, so I...
All right.
How do you feel about it? I was like, that's Conan O'Brien.
I'm very happy that you came running up on me. That didn't happen a lot before I got famous. Women weren't running up on me. And so I say yes to fame. Well, I have two good witnesses here that will tell you, because they're with me all the time, Sona and David, and they see me out in the real world. And I learned a long time ago there's two types. Mm-hmm. There's someone like a Steve Martin, who I think is just absolutely brilliant, comedian, legend, icon. I mean, he's up there in the Mount Rushmore of funny people. And he's very reserved and quiet and kind of shy out in public. And I think a lot of his career has been people not understanding that crazy guy with the arrow through his head. I saw him. I'll go up to him and I'll give him that energy.
Do something wacky.
Yeah. And...
Exactly.
And it's like they're coming across a very shy art history professor and they're confused.
What a jerk.
Yeah. And then there are people like myself
who are
me all the time to the point where it's probably an illness.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thrive off of it.
I just like to try and I do the same stuff with the waiter or the person who's selling me the insole for my shoe. I'll do the same thing for them that I would do with you here. That's no difference.
I mean, it depends. If I'm with someone that I think that I'm feel safe with, I love it. I love talking to people. I'm a comedian. I want to know what's your deal. What do you do? And I always say that's what this experience has taken from me is talking to strangers, really, because what I'm looking for now is people who don't recognize me. And then I'll have a conversation with them. And I'm like, I leave so like energized because I do like people. And then right before I step away, they'll be like, by the way, I love you on the... And I'm like, oh no, did I tell that person where I live? You know, because that's how I talk to them. I'm like, I just moved to da-da-da. Where do you eat? I love this restaurant and we'll have a great thing. And I'll be like, wow, made a new friend. And then they're like, I think I already know you. That's what I don't like.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've also noticed that I... will also be more open. Now I'm going to tell people how to fucking approach me. But if they come up and they're like, I love the show. I'm like, thank you so much. I'll do the whole thing. But I'm wary of it. But if they say, I've been following you since stand up, I know your Netflix special. Then I feel like, oh, you know me.
They know you. Yeah.
And then I'm like, what's up, homie? You know what I mean? Yeah. So it just depends.
I came to your fake restaurant.
Exactly. So I'm working on it.
I smoked some of your cigars.
Hey, I saw your titties in the 90s. What? What's up, old friend? Me and Stern.
That's where I know you.
The year is 2008. It's me and my friend Stern. And here you come, cigars and titties. I'm like, yeah, you know the real Janelle. What's up, friend?
How has your family reacted to all this?
Oh, my God. Well, my mom just came around because she's...
Did she love it?
My mom is very shy. I am also, and I didn't realize this, I am also kind of surprisingly shy. Yeah. And so my mom is very shy. And so she, for the first couple seasons, wasn't even telling anyone. And then she said, I put a picture of you on my desk and people keep stopping by. Like, what is it? She's like, that's my daughter. And they're like, what? She's been, you know, your daughter this whole time or whatever. Yeah. So now she's kind of leaning in. And also, I'm trying to get her used to the fact that I have money and that she can accept things from me. That's been a big deal, and that she can have nice things. That's something I had to work through. Like, oh, I have money. So yeah. It's been so many things all at once. My kids don't watch the show. They're cool.
I think that's good. I think it's good.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
my kids.
My older son says it's weird to see me like that.
Yeah.
He's like, what is that voice you're doing? And who is that? But he's like, wow, you're like, I took him just recently to like a talk I did at a college, and just him seeing how people react to me, which people cry when they meet. And I'm always like, I'm not MJ. Like, it's cool. I'm just a lady. But people crying, like shaking. My son was like, what the fuck? Like, you're famous. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, this shit is wild. And that was just a couple weeks ago. And that's like the first real conversation we've had about, because I try to tell them, but it's not till you're, my mom too, I took her to New York. We went to Broadway. People were chasing us. My mom, she's so tiny with her little legs running, and she was so anxious. And she's just like, what the fuck? Like, they don't, it's been crazy for all of us. But yeah, again, I just stay in the house. Yeah.
She's a hologram right now. She's
I'm beaming in.
We assembled the studio in your house.
In. I'm like, oh, why do
good
celebrities?
Good job, Eduardo.
Yeah. Why do celebrities live in the mountains? I know now.
Yeah. You know, it's so nice to see someone's work from afar, just see their work and admire them and then meet them.
Conan O'Brien just said that.
No, no, but what I'm saying is admire them and then meet them, and they're just who you would want them to be, which is you are yourself.
I am.
You are yourself, and there's no changing that. And so many people would have been warped, bent, twisted, stretched by this experience.
I wish I could lean in, though. I wish I could be like, yes! I don't know. Yeah. That's what Ava would do.
Yeah.
I'd be out as her.
But you know,
I'm
what?
Leaving so much money on the table.
I know.
I can perform as her. Welcome to the Ava Extravaganza. I could probably have a fucking Vegas show, all kind of shit.
There's still time.
Yeah,
don't say no to it.
Later on. Later
don't
on,
say
maybe.
No to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's always time for that.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's not time for that right now. It's time for you, you know, to see this character through.
Yeah.
Now, some people are speculating because your character got fired.
Facts. For a couple hours.
Yeah.
At most,
we
yes.
would all panicked when nope. that happened.
Not
I didn't
at all.
Think you would be.
I was like, oh, I'll go back on the road. I wonder what Chris is doing. Like, I was already like,
oh my God.
I was like, I mean, that's the benefit of having multiple skills.
Yeah.
Like, and
yeah.
I mean, I've quit jobs for any reason before. I'm always on the hustle. I'm like, okay, well, if you think that's the best thing for the show, for me to be off of it, I agree with you, Quinta. You're a fucking genius.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. She's like, no, you'll be back the next episode. I was like, oh, I don't even get some days off.
Can't your character be in a coma?
Yeah.
Can't Ava be in a coma and you still get paid
like,
just as much?
How many days? Can I go to Mexico? Like, what's going on? No, I was back the next episode. But that was very thrilling for me because people still come up to me now. So that happened last season, months ago. And people still come up to me now, like, let me know when you're back on the show so I can start watching again. And I'm like, dude, I was on the next episode.
Yeah.
People were like, I don't watch it anymore. They fired you. Why would they do that? So that was like gratifying for me. Like, oh, wow. I'm a thing.
Yeah. Yes, you are a thing.
Thank you.
absolute delight.
Thank you,
to
Conan.
To get to meet you, get to know you.
I think I mean, told you when I met you, I wanted to do time on your show, and then I was too precious about my little 5-minute set, and then all of a sudden you weren't
there.
Well,
here we are. This is, I mean,
who knows what I was going to say back then?
Yeah, exactly.
My dad is dead. Oh, killing. Look at me crushing. See, still got it. Still got it.
I'm sorry. It's just such a funny line. My dad is dead. It just kills every time.
That was probably my set back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's just, you know, one of the things that makes me really happy. This has been a real gift to me is this podcast format, which was invented by people long before me. And mm-hmm. I just came along and it fits me like a glove because what I really want to do.
Love your travel series as well.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're the best at talking to people. Anyway, I love you. Thank
but
you so
what
much.
But what I love to do is in the old days, it would have been you. Yeah, it would have been you doing your set and me coming over and thanking you and us standing together
walking
for a second.
From the desk and yeah. shaking my hand.
And yeah, and then good night. We'll be right back. Janelle James, everybody. Ba-na-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba- really get to talk about some stuff.
And I mean, how many listeners you got on this? So
we got a lot.
Okay,
I don't know.
Great.
I don't do numbers, but
I'll be the judge of meaningful.
Numbers guy refused to be here today.
It's okay. I was doing a bit. I was doing a bit. Like, how meaningful is it? We shall see.
Let's quantify
Will my followers? No.
A lot. We have a lot of people listening, and they're the greatest people ever.
Yeah.
You are your fan base. I always say that.
Janelle, you are just a delight. And
thank
I
you.
Do hope you come back sometime.
Anytime.
And I hope we are friends for real, because that would be... seriously, that'd be a nice thing for me. You would up my friend
Hollywood,
game.
I feel like everybody says that. And then I'm in your backyard, and you're
really
like, how'd you get
friends?
Here?
No, you don't.
I really don't have a lot of friends, and I'd be so happy to... I'll come to your house, and I'll hang out.
I just got a pool.
What's that?
I just got a pool.
What's the shape of the pool? Is it kidney-shaped?
Nope, it is. Oh, is it?
Kidney-shaped.
It's bulbous. It's more squash-shaped.
Okay.
Is it kidney?
The mind wanders.
I'm here for your bulbous pool, Janelle.
Welcome. Is what I will say.
Oh my God, the way you just invited yourself.
I'm going to ring your bell. I'm here for bulbous pool. Who
say,
is that? I don't know. I can't see, but I think it's Conan O'Brien.
I'm going to say, here's your incense. Please cleanse yourself before you enter, and let's have a great time.
Thank you so much for being here.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I mean, this was so great.
Oh, great.
And easy.
We all win. And my close
thank you guys.
You know what? I'm going to go home, and my wife's going to say, who are you cheating on?
A Catholic nun.
You smell like persimmons.
Let's do a review the reviewers.
I like it. I like to keep my finger on the pulse of what the podcasting listeners believe, feel. Yeah,
that's right. This is where we go to Apple Podcasts and we take a 5-star review.
Okay.
Not hard to find.
Hey.
It's nice.
Okay.
So you're weeding out all the no-star reviews.
Yeah.
I don't think you can give no stars. You have to do one.
I'll find a way.
To your own podcast?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to load up our... our comment section with no star reviews. All right.
And we read it and we review it, or if there's a question, we'll answer it.
Yep.
This is from Annalise 0912. The title is Best Podcast Ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
I listen to this all day at school. I have absolutely no idea what's going on in any of my classes, but I'm sure I'll figure it out. The bad thing about listening to this at school, though, is that I can't laugh out loud. And believe me, I really want to. Seriously, if you look over at me while I'm listening, you would see tears streaming down my face, me quivering and shaking with laughter, and my face as red as a tomato. I'll often at times have to go to the bathroom, and I'll sit there and just laugh. I'm sure everyone thinks I'm a big creep, but I could care less because Conan is so funny. Also, Sona and Matt, pure gold. I'm only 16 years old, so I love getting to know guests that I have never heard of. I think that y'all should make a Team Coco iPhone app. You could have full episodes of all Conan shows, not just the clips like YouTube, remotes, podcasts, and anything Team Coco related. My screen time would be off the charts if y'all do that. Anyways, love the podcast and love Conan!
First of all, I love Annalise 0912, and thank you so much. What a great comment.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Adam, you can get involved in this. Why aren't we an app? Why aren't we
well,
an app?
I think the main ask I heard out of that is that she wants the full episodes. And my guess is that this review was written before we started releasing full episodes.
So we're doing so what she wants.
And not you don't have to go to an app. You go to YouTube where everyone has access to.
This was a year ago.
Yeah. So ooh. Wow. So I think it's
that's how long
she's 17 and despises us.
Oh no.
And that's how far back I had to go to find a 5-star review.
The part of my brain that determines what's of quality developed in the last year. No, it's really nice. I usually push aside compliments, but yeah. We just have to take this. It's so nice.
Are you worried though that she's in high school and she's listening to this during class?
You know, no, because I remember in high school learning nothing that was of use to me. And I'm just, come on. You know, when was the last time you used any of your math skills, Sona? You still walk around with an abacus, you know?
Graduated high school.
Exactly. I know.
I used to write disco rules on the tables I sat on.
Did you really?
I don't know why.
But disco didn't rule when you were in high school.
I think it was just me being like silly and ironic. And I would just be like, disco rules, because I didn't think it ruled. But I also, maybe I did go through a bit of a disco phase. It's a fun genre.
I like disco.
But I think that what I'm excited about is she's young.
Yeah,
I know.
Young people, I really want them to like me.
Really?
Do you guys ever feel that way, or is it just me?
He does.
Like,
for sure.
I change.
I want young people to assist me. Help me up if I've fallen. Guide me to the part of the iPhone that I can use. You know, I mean, I'm mostly looking to young people for. I will say this. This is honest. I love the enthusiasm of young people. I really do like that. And when young people are happy, I'm happy. It's a weird, I don't know if that's weird to say, but
well,
I am.
I think that because I tried to think I was hip for a while, and then now I've completely lost touch with 16-year-olds where I don't know what they're interested in. And I think that when they like something that I'm involved in, it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? Mm-hmm. I like this. I like this very much. And I have to say, when I'm cruising around... Not cruising.
What? No. Where are you cruising?
There was a time in the late 70s, early 80s when I was cruising. It was after the
Disco
Al Pacino movie Cruising came out. And I didn't understand what it was about.
Don't even know what that movie
I just thought it meant having a nice walk.
Did he cruise?
Yes, he certainly did.
Yeah, he certainly
did. He's an undercover cop that went in underground in the gay scene to solve a murder.
Oh, cruising like that.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was, so I wore the same outfit that Al Pacino wore in Cruising, which was all leather and a leather cap. And I would go, and I would yell, I'm cruising around, and I'd walk around. I didn't know what it meant. But boy, certain people were very friendly to me.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's neither here nor there. What's important is just walking around. A lot of young people say they enjoy this silliness, so that's nice.
I wonder what a youngest listener is that finds it on their own, not that their parents listen.
It would be in utero, I think.
You
sometimes
think so?
Yeah, there are... Wow. There are obstetricians that say you should be, there's a way you can just put the podcast up to your belly and a child, as it's forming, a fetus can be listening to this nonsense.
Can you imagine that? If a child is formed with only this as its influence?
Yeah. It comes out and it's just, it wants to immediately buy all the products we mentioned in the ads.
Oh man, that's dark.
What qualities does it take from us? I think it's loud.
Yeah.
It's needy.
I don't think that's my one quality.
Well, we're talking dominant qualities.
Oh. I know. What is your dominant quality?
Oh, that I must dominate.
Oh, what are you going to dominate?
That's true. Yeah.
This conversation.
And then...
You can say it.
I don't want to say nerdiness.
I knew you were going to.
But you knew that, then why did you make me say you knew? Why didn't you just say
it? I'm not going to take your idea and do it for you.
Okay. When a baby's born wearing a straw boater... and wearing a t-shirt that says Whittier Rocks.
I'm more worried about the mother's birth process with a straw boater on that baby's head.
It gets slightly knocked askew, but after that it's fine. Is it a boy or a girl? I don't know, but it's wearing a straw boater. and it wants to get to the Rose Bowl swap meet immediately.
That does come up a lot. I've literally never once been to the Rose Bowl flea market.
I've never been.
Even I've been.
But you sit in you sit just outside the Rose Bowl and wish you could
go
in.
They won't let me in.
Yeah.
You're blacklisted because they're too scared. Yeah.
I've been to the Pasadena City College one, though. It's pretty good.
That one's really
good,
too.
Yeah.
He was escorted out. He's not allowed back to the Rose Bowl anymore.
Why?
He shoplifted a lute.
You know what? That's not true because I'm going there this weekend to see Oasis, motherfucker.
Me too.
You are?
Saturday?
Yes.
Me too.
Ooh, what are you doing?
Are you coming?
No.
Okay.
I do like Oasis, though.
Yeah.
I love those Gallagher. Those Gallagher fellas.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different Gallagher than the one you're thinking of with the sludge.
It's Peter Gallagher. Oh, okay.
Peter Gallagher.
No, I honestly thought that Peter Gallagher was one of the Gallagher brothers because he's got the eyebrows.
Yeah, he does.
He's, you know, and they won't tour with him because they really hate him. Yeah, they just thought his work on the OC was inferior. Shout out to Peter Gallagher. Love you, man. All right, let's start with enough nonsense. Knock it off, you eight balls. Come on. All right. Hey, a shout out to Annalise 0912. Very much appreciate your encouragement and just try and study some. Mm. Just some. Okay. All right. I look forward to you being my surgeon. Take care.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend with Conan O'Brien, Sonam Avsesian, and Matt Gourley. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs, Jeff Ross, and Nick Liao. Theme song by The White Stripes. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Take it away, Jimmy. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair, and our associate talent producer is Jennifer Samples. Engineering and mixing by Eduardo Perez and Brendan Burns. Additional production support by Mars Melnick. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Britt Kahn. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 669-587-2847 and leave a message. It too could be featured on a future episode. You can also get 3 free months of SiriusXM when you sign up at SiriusXM.com/Conan. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.